Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Let me see. Hold him up. Shake him around. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place tonight. Just a liberty and a joy. And just what you've done in our lives. We remember, Lord, we didn't even have a clue that you were really there, that it was more than church. What you've done for us, we rejoice. We thank you for your presence tonight. We open our hearts, whatever you want to do now. Would you speak to us and just minister and touch us. Lord, I pray people all over this room, they're going to leave different in the way they walk through those doors. So I pray that your anointing would rest, Lord, on the word and on our prayer and our time together tonight. We open our hearts to you. We yield to you. Thank you for the victory that you bring. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, please. I want to remind you that God's six-step success plan, that begins this next Sunday. So let's bring some visitors to the church. And this morning I talked about it. You know, there's a board over here. We're going to start taking squares off of that board. There are 2,007 squares. We're challenging you to bring in 2,007 visitors this summer. And that to help you to do that, we've got this. This is just great. God bless you. This is really great. This is an advertisement for VBS. You can get these in the back, hand them out to families in your neighborhood, invite them to come. Well, you load up your car, load up your van, bring in those kids. And it happens, you know, about 2 weeks from now. They've got the date on here, and every day. It is just so exciting to see what's going on. It tells you a little more about it, and they have, you know, activities outside, and they've got some of those big bounce toys and all that kind of stuff. God bless you. And that there's face painting and all kinds of things. If you're sitting next to her, move. She's allergic to you, all right? So there's just a lot happening. Get one of these. And to help you, just inviting people, you know, we have these cards, we've had them, they really do work. I've given out probably hundreds of them. I carry them, you know, my car, my billfold, just keep them there. It says you're cordially invited. You can just talk about the church, invite them to come, and God will bring them in. Talks about the ministries that are on the back, and there's a lot going on. And when you talk to them, you know, kind of find out where they are in life, young, old, whether they have children, whether they're single, whether they're a single parent, and that you can relate to them in their life. We put this back there to help you too. I said this morning, we didn't give this to give out wholesale to everybody, you know, just tons of them. These are to work one-on-one with people. And that if you would, you can use these as an aid as you share with people and as you witness. Get familiar with this. You know, Billy Graham organization came up with this years ago. It really does work. And you can get acquainted with it and share these principles as you meet people, and this will help you to do that. But I don't want you to give it to everybody. It's not that kind of a witnessing tool. You know, I was reading through Philippians and just in my daily Bible reading, and it's been a few weeks ago, and as I was reading through, you know, things just kind of popped out real fast. I like that. When God gives me a message and it's just boom, 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 you know, and it was one of those times. And I want to share some of these principles with you tonight. Chapter 4 of Philippians. It says, therefore, my brothers, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You stand fast. He wasn't telling them that you're never going to have trials. He wasn't saying that you're never going to have temptations or problems come your way or disappointments. He didn't say that once you give your life to Jesus Christ and share, that's going to be the end of all your problems. Every day just going to be, you know, just big merry-go-round. Yippee. That's not what he said. He said, stand fast. And so we know what that means. If he's telling them to stand fast, that means something's coming to blow you off course. And there's going to be things happen. How many have been through a few storms since you've become a Christian? I want to make clear right now that if you're here tonight, that there's a big difference between being involved in churchianity and a true relationship with Jesus Christ. I was raised in churchianity. I went to church as a kid, left me empty, didn't want anything to do with it. When I graduated from high school, went to college, that was the end of my church going. That's when I went to my hippie stage and drugs and everything else and got far away from God. But I didn't know what I was looking for, but I knew it wasn't God. Not at least what I found in church. And you know, I found out later God was against it too. That God is against organized religion. That try to fill in the gap that God only himself can fill in. And everything changed when I asked Jesus Christ to come in my life after I tried to take my life on a drug trip, trying to get to God. Now, isn't that stupid? But man, the enemy's always got an angle that he's throwing at you. And the Lord in his grace saved my life. And how different it is. But I knew then, just because I gave my life to the Lord, I mean, I was filled with joy. I had a new hope. I had an expectancy. I just was so grateful that I was alive. And I knew God had a plan for my life. But I also knew there were going to be troubles and problems that were going to come my way. But the difference was, he was living in me now. And he was there. And whatever happened, he was going to help me through anything that came my way and give me the strength to endure and come through it as a victor. How about you? So God's telling us to stand fast. But he doesn't say to do it in your own strength. He says stand fast in the Lord. That's the difference. Putting our confidence in him. Putting our trust on him. Seeking him. He's the one that has the wisdom you need. He's the one that's got the plan. Let's seek him and find out what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And he's going to direct us step by step. So there were just 10 real simple things in these verses I wrote down, but they really became alive to me. And these are these 10 things that are going to help us stand fast in the Lord. Here's the first one. In verse 2, I beseech thee, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. These women were having some problems. They were in conflict with one another. This says, and I entreat you also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and they were with Clement also. Help them to get it together. It says, have the same mind. I'll tell you how you're going to be able to stand. That when you come together with other people and come together in unity, that what the enemy wants to do to destroy us is to do whatever he can to bring disunity. That's always been his game. And that's what happened before even the foundation of the world as we know it. That there was a spirit realm before there was any natural realm. And at that time, as we know, that Satan was a high-ranking angel, glorious, the anointed cherub that covered. That God entrusted him with great wisdom and great power. But I want to remind you, he was a created being. And at that time, he was lifted up with pride. And because of his beauty and because of his ability and because of his pride, he was deceived. He deceived himself. It was like corruption that came in and affected him, a disease of pride, and that he can no longer see clearly. And to this day, he walks in that deception. He actually believes he can beat God. He actually believes he can win. But we know where he's going. And he drew a third of the angels. And before that time, there was perfect unity always in the heavenlies, in the spirit realm. And after that, there was a division, conflict. And if you remember, God cast him out with a third of the angels and cast him out of the heavenly. Cast him not just out, but down. When you rebel against God and do it your own way, I tell you the direction you're going to go. It's not going to be up in life. It's going to be down. Things are going to happen. But it's through unity. And so whenever the Lord is working in our lives, whenever God shows up, it's always going to bring unity. It's going to bring love. It's going to bring peace. It's going to bring understanding. It's going to bring humility as we humble ourselves to get along with people. In Ephesians, it talks about long-suffering. It means we're willing to suffer real long with somebody to get along. And so we're going to put up with them. And so the Lord has called us. And see, it takes greater strength to humble yourself than it does to tell somebody off. It takes real inner strength. Only God can give you that kind of strength. Patience. Long-suffering. And so that it's that God gives us to stand. That united we stand. Divided, what? We fall. How can two people walk together except they be in agreement? And so the enemy tries to divide us. He tries to do all these things to bring splits and schisms and begin to expect one another and have offenses in hearts and to divide us, that because he knows that we're going to be weak and we won't stand. How can we walk together if we're divided? That's what happened at the fall of man, as he separated man from God himself. What happened in the heavenlies before that. And we can see at times during the church, even in the early church, there was schism and division. It's what the enemy was always trying to do. He has never changed his tactics. He did it in the heavenlies. He does it now. And so he wants to do it in your family. He wants to do it between your kids and parents. He wants to do it between husbands and wives. He wants to do it in the church. He wants people to, and it's always come from deception, and that it always comes from self-centeredness. Because if we're really walking in the Spirit, we're going to have a heart to bring peace, and we're going to humble ourselves. We don't have to be right. So I'm right. If you were really right, you would humble yourself and be willing to just make peace and try to get together with that brother and go to him in meekness and try to instruct him to resolve that conflict, not to tell him off. Hello? And if we're really walking with God, we're not going to be listening to that stuff anyway that people are trying to say. We talked about it in membership class tonight. You know, if everybody in this church all of a sudden would not only quit gossiping, but quit listening to it, we'd just shut it down just like that. Just shut it down. But, you know, they begin to talk, and we know immediately, and there's something not right here. But, you know, we just want to hear a little more about this. Wow. But if we just say right away, wait a minute. I don't think I want to hear this. You shouldn't be telling me this. You need to go to that person alone. You need to talk to them. Is that what the Scripture says to do? That we be of one mind. That God loves peacemakers. That we're going to bring factions together, not help and take sides and cause problems in the body of Christ. And when we do that, if you have a right heart with God, see, if I do my best to be at peace with brothers, even if they don't accept it, it's going to give God strength to me to stand. He's going to honor that because my heart was right. Because I responded correctly to God, he's going to strengthen me. But if I find myself that when I am upset with somebody else and have that offense, what I'm really doing is I'm rebelling against God himself because of my brothers and sisters that I'm at odds with, and my pride is bringing divisiveness. Hello. Let's go on. So the first way you're going to stand strong is that you're going to guard unity, to have the mind of the Lord. It tells us we all have the mind of Christ now, and we're going to be united together with a peace, with an inner strength in our fellowship, because we've yielded. It comes through some humility. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God's Word says and what God thinks about the situation. Can you say amen to that? Man, I so appreciate our board of directors when we come together. You know, there's some churches, it's like family feud time, you know. When we come together, there's such a peace and there's a love. Every person has a chance to voice and to share things, and we're not threatened, and we can do that. But everyone's there to lift up. Everyone's there to encourage, to do whatever we need to get the job done. There's such a unity. I mean, it's a real joy. They really, truly come with a heart that whatever they can do to help, to make this thing happen, that's what they're there to do. And I really appreciate that kind of a spirit, having the same mind, and God smiles on it and blesses it. Here's the next thing. If we're going to stand strong, it says in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, Paul writes this when he's in a jail cell. He's in prison. He's in chains. And he can say, rejoice in the Lord. He says in chapter 1, he says, I there do rejoice. And again, I says, I will rejoice. That joy doesn't have to do with circumstances. It has to do with an attitude, a joyous attitude. It's an attitude of gratitude. We thank God. No matter what's happening. I mean, there are people worse off than you are. There are people you know a lot worse off. And that we can be grateful for what we have and that we can have a joy. I mean, I know some people, it doesn't matter what's happening in their life, they always have a joyous outlook. If there's something going on, you wouldn't know it. And I'm sure there is, because, you know, as long as we're breathing, there's going to be stuff going on in our lives. But they always have a joy because of their relationship with the Lord. I'm talking a moment. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Oh, I just want to be happy. Good luck, Ralph. You know, happiness comes from one situation to the next, to the next, to the next. So that your happiness depends on the circumstance, the situation, the new car you get, the new boyfriend you got, the one you just got rid of. You know what? Happiness, you know, happiness depends on circumstances and things, and that it's from one thing to the next that makes you happy. And so, you know, you lose your job, you're unhappy. You get another job and you're happy. You know, you, whatever, you know. But it's just from about stuff and things and circumstances. That's not what joy is. Joy is there whether you have a job or you don't have a job, because you rejoice in God that He's given you life and for the blessings and for His goodness to you. Joy, you can have joy whether you have a boyfriend or don't have a boyfriend. You can have joy whether you got a new car or an old car. You can still be joyous. And so joy is not dependent on your circumstances. Joy is dependent on a relationship that you would have with Jesus and being filled with the Spirit and the promises and the hope that we have in the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. So that we're going to stand by being joyous. If you lose your joy, you're going to have a hard time standing strong because you have an attitude. Then you start blaming everybody else and complaining and you murmur. And when you do that, it's not faith, and it just cuts off the relationship between you and God and cuts off the blessing. So, you know, just rejoice. Rejoice in all things. Again, I say rejoice. It says in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I mean, we're thanking God in the middle of it, not because we're having problems, because we know God is faithful. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Look then, rejoice, he says, always. Start, just have a joyous spirit, good attitude, thanksgiving, attitude of gratitude. And, you know, ask somebody else, am I joyous? You might be afraid to ask. They might tell you the truth. Find out you have coffee breath. If you weren't here this morning, you don't understand that, but... By the way, they did a great job on that skit this morning, didn't they? It was just tremendous. I'll tell you, I want to commend somebody else to you tonight, and that is Chris Rush, you know, does all the PowerPoint and does the notes, and that he went through it and had already, and as he went into second service, something happened. It wasn't a power shortage, but something happened. The computer just blinked out, and when it did, it lost all my notes that he'd put in their PowerPoint in the second service. And so what he did is he just started typing them all over again while I was preaching, and he actually stayed up with me and didn't get behind, and he was back there working hard, just putting all those notes in as I was going and got it all done. So rejoice. You need to get up in the morning, thank God, praise God. You know, rejoice in Him. Thank Him for what you do have. Rejoice in God's goodness to you, the life that He's given. Number 5, we're going to stand. Let your moderation be known unto all men. I'll tell you how you stand strong. You live a moderate lifestyle. Instead of a lustful lifestyle wanting more, 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 that we're going to show moderation in everything we do. That we can have joy. You can have a moderation in everything. Moderation in your spending. You know, if you're in debt, I promise you, you're going to have a hard time standing. You're always going to be discouraged. So you need to have a moderation in your spending and what you buy, and use some wisdom and ask God to direct you and not just buy everything you see. There's a big difference between wants and needs. We always want stuff, you know. because we may have, you know, I need the new. But there's a difference between when you really need something and when you want something. God says that we need to live a moderate lifestyle with our spending, with our dress. I don't care what other people are wearing in the world. What brings glory to God? If Jesus all of a sudden showed up, you know, in your living room, or even when you were out someplace, you know, would you be embarrassed, you know? We have a moderation. Excuse me, but I've seen people wear stuff in church, and I'm thinking, where in the world did they think they were going? Moderation. And if they wear that to church, why do they wear when they're out there doing something else? Does it bring glory to God? Is it advertising? Say, man, I'm a Christian, I really love Jesus, and I walk uprightly? No. So whatever we do, we're to be moderate with our time, moderation in everything, with our schedule, our priorities, watching TV, the food we eat, moderation. And if we have a moderation in lifestyle, it doesn't mean that our needs aren't met. I'm just talking about having wisdom, not walking in a lustful way. I want, 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 I want. Never satisfied. And that it's going to help you to stand strong. You're going to stand. You're not walking foolishly, living foolishly. Here's the next thing. I didn't say you were going to like this stuff tonight. I just said this is going to help you to stand. But it's true. Okay, here's the next thing. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Means don't be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and keep your minds through Jesus Christ. How are we going to stand strong with a life of prayer? I just got to get back to it. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about our own self-discipline that we're going to you know, do things to be religious, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a real relationship with God, that you talk to Him as your Father. It says, come boldly to His throne of grace. Prayer is just talking to the Father the way we talk. We don't have to have self-righteous tones and think that God hears us when we talk like this. God, Almighty, omnipotent in the highest, Almighty One, hear my prayers. I can just see God coming over and say, listen to this, man. I can, you know. Instead of, you know, just with a humble heart. Father, I know you love me. I know your word says to come to you. I can pray boldly that you hear my prayers, that you care for me. And I'm coming, Lord, put my trust in you. He said, you love me, you're closer than my own brother. You told me, Lord, to not be anxious about anything, but in everything come to you to pray about it. Supplication is talking about supply. You know, that we look to God to meet our needs and to supply our needs. And we do it with thanksgiving, not because you're going through a trial, but you're thankful for His faithfulness and what He's done for you in the past. And you're thanking Him that right now He's hearing you and He's going to do something in the future. And so you do it with faith. And you're thankful. God's hearing you. You're going to see the breakthrough and the right in the middle of it. That, and that as you give it to God, it says casting every care upon Him because He cares for you. Give it to God. He cares. He knows what you're going through. He's well aware of it. He just waits for you to give it to Him and not do it yourself. The Bible says, without Him, we can do nothing, nothing, nothing. Give it to Him. Learn to cast all your cares on Him. And when you do that, and you've really trusted Him, you see, you know that He heard you. And then it says, in the peace of God, which passes understanding. We don't even know it. We don't even understand it. But we just know He heard us. And man, there's just that peace we don't understand that comes on us. It may look the same, but we just know. It's all right. God's got it. I gave it to Him. He heard it. He's going to take care of it. can rest in Him. How many of you have had that experience before? How many have had the opposite experience where you continue to walk in the anxiety and don't give it to God, you know? And you just keep giving it to Him. It's all right. If you pray and you got the breakthrough and then He comes back, just give it to Him again. There's that peace. And by the way, it's the peace of God. It's His own peace. Not your peace. It's God's peace. I mean, we're talking about some peace. Look what's going on in the world. He's got peace. He's not worried about it. He's not worried about what's going on in Afghanistan. He's not worried about what's going on in Iraq. He's not worried about what's going on between Israel and Arabs. You know that? God's got peace. Know that? Didn't catch Him by surprise. God had peace when He watched His own Son die on a cross. Because He knew the victory was going to come out of it. So no matter what's going on in our life, we can have God's peace on our lives. Here's the next thing. Fifth thing. He says, see, I'm not the only one that go longer in messages. Paul said, finally, brethren, and he didn't quit. He continued to move forward. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Matter of fact, Paul preached one message. It was so long that he preached well into the night, almost in the morning. They were up on the second or third floor, and a guy fell out of the window and died. Paul just went down, laid hands on him, brought him back to life, and went on preaching. So for those of you that are dead in Christ, we will lay hands on you, and we're just going to keep right on going. All right. Here we go. So we're going to stand strong because of right thoughts. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true. You know, you hang around with liars, people that are dishonest. You're never going to be able to stand strong. You know, you've heard it before too. Whoever you're running around with, you know, we can determine, we can just show you what your life is going to be like in the future by who you're hanging out with right now. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatever is just, pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, not negative, not critical, not upset, telling everybody how upset you are. Things that are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You want to stand strong? Have right thoughts. You want to stand strong? Start turning off your television set and quit listening to all that junk that you're getting. Whatever you're putting in this computer, that's what's going to affect your heart. As a man thinketh, so is he. Out of our heart come all the issues of life. What you're putting in your heart is going to affect the way you think, the way you look at things. It's going to determine your actions. And so you got to reprogram this up here. Have the right mind. Start getting the Word of God in there. Block out whatever else is going in there that's negative. Get rid of it. Movies you're watching. Even billboards that you're looking at. You don't have to look. Turn away. You don't have to, you know, surf the net and watch all that junk. It's going to affect your spirit. You don't know it, but it's polluting your spirit. I want you to think about it. Think about what you're looking at on the internet. Think about, you know, what you're looking at on those websites. Is it true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report? Is it virtuous? Is it praiseworthy? Really got quiet in here. Books and magazines. You know, you can even wait in the barbershop, you know. They had trash laying around. Go to the beauty shop, same thing. And you can walk in an airport, you know, and stuff all over the rack, you know. Just block it out. Guard your eyes. Protect your mind. Protect your heart. You want to stand strong? That's how you do it. Is that right? You get all that polluted stuff in there, you're not going to stand. You're not going to have confidence before God. How can you get involved in all that junk and then come into church and worship God? Have confidence when you pray. Okay, I can tell I need to move on. Here's the next thing, number six. If we're going to stand strong, we need to be open to instruction. Paul said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace, it'll be with you. Paul said he was a pattern, to follow that pattern. You know, that those people you look to, you know, listen to them. Don't be proud and think you're going to do it all yourself, have all the answers. You know, do what they're doing. Ask for their advice. Be instruction. Get instructed. Sometimes, you know, men, we're the worst, you know. We're going to do it ourselves. I'm going to ask anybody. You know, we're just going to do ignorant things, but we don't want anybody to know we're ignorant, you know. You're not letting anybody know. Yeah, well, you're showing your ignorance by the stuff that's coming out, you know. So we know the old adage, you know, on a trip, man. We're not going to stop and ask anybody, you know. I'm not stopping and ask anybody, you know. And your wife's saying, please, you know. It looks like we are off the highway. We're in the middle of the woods. There's no road anymore. You know, I'm not stopping and ask anybody. I know there's a main road somewhere up ahead, you know. But it's that way with our walk in Christianity. You want to stay on the road. Have an open heart. Be instructed. Humble ourselves. Man, I don't know it all. How about you? I need to listen to other people. And you know, there isn't a person anywhere that doesn't have something that they can share with you that's going to help you to live life. Even if it's negative things they went through to say, don't do it like this. Somebody has something to share with you. And I'll tell you, sometimes your enemies will be more honest with you than a good friend will. Because he'll tell you like it is, and he doesn't care what you think. But your friend butters it up, never comes out with the truth to really tell you. Hello? Your enemy will tell you you got coffee wrath. That's not fair if you weren't here. I'm sorry. But, you know, we need to be open to instruction, to the Word of God, listen to tapes, listen to CDs, not being proud. You know, to be open and honest. Ask people. Be honest with me. I want to know the truth. Tell me. You're not doing people any favor. It says to speak the truth in love. If you got a problem with a person, quit pretending like it's okay. And it says speak the truth in love, not in pride. We're not doing it because we're right. We're doing it because we really care for them. We want to help them and encourage them. And if you do want to share with somebody, do it in a humble way so they'll have an open heart to receive it. It's a lot easier to receive from somebody when they bring it to you in a humble way. All right, let's go on. You want to stand? Verse 10, Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again. Before you didn't have any opportunity, but he says, now you've had. He's talking about how they helped him with an offering. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. To be content. To be content. There's nothing wrong with wanting to get ahead. There's nothing wrong with wanting to better ourselves. But to have a contentment in life. We're living in such a materialistic society. It's all, man, everywhere. We're just barraged with all these commercials telling you to buy this crummy thing, and they make it sound like it's the best thing that ever was on the face of this earth. You can't live without it. You got to have one of these. And then you get that, and then they come out with a new model. Now you got to have one of these. And then you have that 2 weeks, and then they came out one with a red light on it. Now you got to have one of these. Be content. Be content. Be content. Thank God for what you have. To rejoice. Don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in Madison Avenue lifestyle, how they're pushing everything on us. Hello. Telling you the truth. Isn't that something? We try to do all this stuff to impress people. Truth is, we don't even like some of them very much. We feel like we got to do this stuff to impress them. Let's just live for God. God loves us. You know, quit trying to stay up with everybody else. Let's just be a trendsetter, our own trendsetter. Let's live for Jesus and be real. Let's be sincere. Let's be content with what we have. You're going to stand, not be dissatisfied all the time, dissatisfied, never content, always dissatisfied. And you know, when you get that, whatever you think is going to make you so happy, you're going to get it, and you still won't be satisfied. Be content with the Lord and what He has. Okay, here's the next one, talking about how to stand strong. Be content. Next one, he says, we know this verse, that's to have confidence in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Sounds like a paradox, you know, to be content. And then the next verse, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But Paul's saying God will give him the strength no matter what circumstance, what the situation is, that he can walk in victory no matter what is happening in his life. Whether he has a little, whether he has a lot, he can walk in victory. Christ's going to give him the strength. That victory is going to come out of it. Amen. The Lord's definition of victory and what our definition of victory are entirely two different things. To Paul, victory was being in a prison cell and being able to share the gospel with people that he was chained to and watch him come to Christ until the Praetorian Guard and all these Roman soldiers started coming to Jesus and it was all over the castle. Paul says, man, this is great victory. Never once did he pray to come out of that prison. But that God would use him where he was. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. If you're going to stand, sometimes it's not trying to escape. Standing where you are. That doesn't mean God doesn't want us to get out of a hard situation. There's times we need to get out. But I'm talking about how if you always run away, you're always trying to escape, that's not the way of the cross. The way of the cross is to stand strong in Christ and give it to Him. And He'll give you the strength, and the very thing that you were having a problem with is going to end up being the springboard for your victory, that trial is what is going to open the door for the things that God has for you. You've heard me say it before. The word problem in Greek is the word problem. It means to thrust forward. That it's your very problems that ended up giving you that strength, giving you wisdom. You know, I've said it, you've heard it, if you've been coming to church for a while, everything we enjoy, almost everything, came out of somebody that was solving a problem, and now we enjoy the results of that. And shoestrings, I don't have any tonight. Shoes, buttons, glasses, wristwatch, everything you have, glasses. Somebody went through some problems. And because of that, then they brought victory out of that. And because of that problem, today, you know, we enjoy it. And everything. I've seen it here in the church. You have areas in a particular, it's like the squeaky wheel thing, you know. And you got some big problem. And then when you deal with that problem, by the time it's done, it's stronger than it was before, and it helps bring, it flourishes that ministry, and things begin to happen in that area. Do you hear what I'm saying? So instead of running from it, you know, God wants us to stand. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will give you the grace to stand. He'll give you the grace to put up with that person. He'll give you the grace to stand. He'll give you the grace not to run away. He'll give you the grace to be strong in spite of what it looks like. It'll give you the strength. You can endure. That's the difference between victory and not. So much of the time, it's just people that didn't quit. They didn't give up. And Paul goes on to say, notwithstanding, you've done well. You took care of me in my affliction. So now you Philippians, you've always done it from the beginning of the gospel. When I left Macedonia, no other church gave to me the way you did, because giving and receiving. You were the only one. Even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to the needs that I had. And listen what he says. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and I abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent to me. It was like a sacrifice, a sweet smell before God, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. If you're going to stand, have a giving spirit. I'm not talking about just about money. But instead of a get spirit, it'll bring you down. But a giving spirit. To want to serve, help other people, look on the things of others. Not just about me, my life, what I can get out of this thing. You know, self-centered lifestyle. Someone said, you know, that there's nothing smaller than a self-centered heart. But there's no room in that heart except for that person. For someone that has a giving heart, there's nothing greater that expands out. A giving heart can touch the world. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. Satan's heart is so self-centered, it's so narrow, it's so cold and hard and dead, because there's nothing in there but himself. Look at the difference. Jesus is willing to lay down his life for all of us. And that we're going to stand, if we just, instead of always being concerned about me and giving, you know, to have that giving spirit, a giving spirit, whatever it is. But whatever we do, we're motivated by love in what we do. That's our motivation. You're going to stand. God will always honor you when you have a right heart, a right motive for what you do. Here's the next thing, the last thing. It says, now unto God our Father be glory ever and ever. I'm in verse 21 now. It says, greet every saint. We know what a saint is. The word saint comes from the word hagios. Hagios means set apart. You know, that we've come through time to think a saint is someone that they make a statue to and then you vote them in whether they're a saint or not. That's not a saint. Any person that receives Jesus Christ as their Savior becomes a hagios. Different, set apart, saint. We're children of God. So when he addresses the saints, he's talking about fellow believers that are there. And that every one of us are different. That's the hagios, really, is the word holy. Different. God is holy. He's different. He's set apart. He's not like anyone else. And when you said, Lord, forgive me, come into my life, God, who is holy and different and set apart, came into your life and made you holy and different and set apart. And you became a saint unto God, a member of the family of God. So he said, I want you to salute. You greet all the saints, all the brothers, all the family in Jesus Christ. And the brothers, they're with me, they greet you. And all the saints greet you, mainly those that are of Caesar's household. These are all these guards that gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Here's the last thing. If you want to stand, God will give you the strength if you'll make a commitment to fellowship and relationship. You can't do it on your own. We need one another. I remember before I became a Christian, you know, I told you I had the church stuff and I didn't want anything to do with that. And man, I'd avoid it like the plague, and I thought it was all the same. I just thought, you know, this Jesus stuff was all about churchanity. And so I didn't want anything to do with it. And man, nobody even get close to me to talk to me about it. God got hold of me. And when I really had that relationship with Jesus Christ, everything changed when his spirit came in my life. When I realized that God was real and the difference between just going to church and really meeting him, man, when I realized the difference and then God tapped me into a church where they really preached, taught the Word of God, taught the relationship with the Lord, it's like I just loved the people of God. I couldn't get enough of it. And it's amazing. Now, you got to remember, this was, you know, a few years ago, and I was just coming out of the hippie scene, remember? And And I still, you know, church was a little weird for me because of the culture I was coming out of, and then all of a sudden coming into all this different music and culture and clothing and everything else, and I still had long hair, and they looked at me like I was really weird. And this was before there was a lot of people in church that had long hair, except for women. And yet, you know, they just loved me, and I loved them, and it was amazing. You know, that I would have avoided them like the plague before. This is the last thing I'm going to do to have a good time is go to church and hang out with these people. These people are weird. They raise their hands, clap their hands, wear weird clothes. I mean, you know. And I loved it. And man, I could be with somebody that, and I was younger then, and when I'm 24, 25, and there'd be an older saint there, you know, a lady was so sweet, and there she'd be, you know, 80 years old. Oh man, we could just talk and have this relationship and talk about the Lord. There was just such a closeness, such a bond. You know, it just takes away all those barriers of culture, doesn't it? Of economic differences and racial differences and age as we come together as the family of God and bring us together. Closer in my own flesh family. I need you. Whether you know it or not, you need the people that are around you. We need each other to stand. And obviously, you're here on Sunday night, so you're figuring that out. We need to be in small groups. We need